Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the first reading from Acts. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my goodness, did you notice? I mean, really, did you catch it? The incredible enormity of today's text and what it means for you and for the church. The sending of preachers, the preaching of the word, and baptism are not the work of men alone. Instead, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's the truth. It is the Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps the church with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. So I warn you, warning, the church is not the result of man-made programs. Polls, surveys, scientific or sociological studies, furiously and fanatically implemented. Brothers and sisters, the church does not come about because like-minded individuals agree to come together because they have the same skin color, are the same age, have the same number of kids, and have identical interests. Instead, the church is the gathering of all kinds of people, diversity par excellence, around the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all mankind. Now, check this out. The work of men looks like this. Men deny that Jesus is the Christ, and so men persecute the work of God in Christ Jesus. Men murder Jesus and then mock the preaching of his blood-stained cross. Men reject the Nazarene in that he actually rose from the dead. Men laugh and ignore baptism in the triune name. Men ridicule the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper by demonizing it as cannibalism or some other derogatory tag. Men are vehemently opposed and criminalize the preaching that only the name that saves sinners is Jesus. And so consequently, Christian and Christianity are dirty words. Christians are branded as enemies of religion, as opponents of the state, destroyers of civilization. And so Christians are discriminated against, hated, arrested, jailed, and murdered. And yet, what does God do? He uses it all for good, salvationally good for people not only here at Trinity, throughout her entire existence, but over all the world, beginning, as we read in Acts, just outside of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit, if you listen to the text, sends preachers to preach Christ, to baptize people, and to gather them into the church that spreads throughout the world. Yes, this is how it works. In the book of Acts, the persecution that scatters the church also scatters abroad what? The preaching of the gospel. This is God's work. And as you read in the book of Acts, there's this refrain, the word of the Lord grew. Did you catch that? The word of the Lord grew. We don't talk that way anymore. We say something else. Now, the prime example of what I'm talking about is Philip. Listen again to the text. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down south from Jerusalem to Gaza, to the desert. There's nothing in the desert except scorpions and snakes. Send Pastor Philip to the uninhabited, heat-stroke, desert sand dunes wasteland? Well, you know that angels only follow orders. Orders from who? The Lord. This then is the Lord's word. This then is the Lord's word. Why? So that Philip will preach, baptize, and gather into the church one of the most unlikely and ineligible people on the face of the earth. The text says, so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Did you hear that? an Ethiopian, not only a non-Israelite Gentile, but did you notice his skin color? It's not the same as yours. Does that make you nervous? Oh, there's more. He's a eunuch. Now, how do I explain eunuch? I mean, you know, because I have to keep this sermon G-rated. So I'm going to do my best. It means that the Ethiopian has been emasculated by crushing or by cutting. And no doubt now you're ready to quote Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, that prohibits such men from stepping foot into the church, right? That was on your mind right away, I'm sure it was. Well, perhaps you'd be willing to cut the Ethiopian eunuch some slack once you find out, what? That he is a highbrow political insider in Queen Candace's administration. In fact, he is the CFO. He is the chief financial officer of Ethiopia. Oh, and there's more. Check it out. He's just been in Jerusalem to do what many would not allow, to worship. Imagine that. Gentile, Ethiopian, rendered impotent, Secretary of the Treasury in the Candace administration, and a worshiper. He is a convert to Judaism. Oh, and there's more. On his way home to Africa, as he pulls over for a break, I should say something, you know, that says chariot in the text. We think of chariot as some small thing like this pulpit. I got news for you. It wasn't that way. It was probably like a huge trailer. Remember who this guy is. On his way home from Africa, what is he doing? He's reading a scroll from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, to be precise. Now, you know, in those days, that's absolutely incredible. This is really a miracle. Someone is actually studying and reading the Bible. That's a rare bird. People like that are almost extinct. But in addition, to obtain a scroll in those days would personally cost him a huge chunk of change. Scrolls, not to mention biblical scrolls, would be more expensive than gold itself in those days. Well then, if the emasculated Ethiopian official is a worshiper, and if he's deep in the study of Holy Scripture, then what in the world is Philip there for? I mean, who needs Philip when all of that is going on? Glad you asked. Listen again to what the text says. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Remember how my sermon started? You are witnessing the work and the will not of men, but of the Holy Spirit. So Philip sprints to the chariot, and the Ethiopian is reading out loud. Out loud! That's how the ancients read everything, out loud. Words are meant to be spoken and to be heard, even the written ones. That's why, you know, when you come to church, the readings on the back of the bulletin are read out loud every Sunday. Faith comes by hearing. So Philip doesn't even introduce himself. He has the audacity to interrupt and to blurt out a question. Sir, do you understand what you're reading? How dare he? Oh, he dared. And the Ethiopian is eager to learn the scriptures. Eager to learn. Again, what a rare bird that is. And so he says to Philip, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So please come into my chariot. Sit with me. Here's what I'm reading. It's from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Here, let me read a part of it to you. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. His life was taken from the earth. I mean, who in the world is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And as quick as you can say, Bob's your uncle, Philip is in full force preacher mode, preaching that Jesus the Nazarene is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies to be the Savior, proclaiming that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How? By his dying on the cross. By taking all sin the sin of the world in his body on the cross and answering for it once and for all. And then Philip clinches his sermon like all faithful preachers do. Lamb of God, Jesus died for you, Mr. Treasurer Secretary from Ethiopia. Because he rose from the dead, all your sin is forgiven and salvation is yours. Philip preaches because faith comes by, what did I say? It's Romans 10, by hearing. And hearing by the preaching of Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit sent Philip to this man. To preach the gospel. To preach Jesus for him. So that the Ethiopian would be once and for all a true worshiper in spirit and in truth. And that's who? That's one who believes in Jesus for salvation. One who depends on Jesus. And so the believing, dependent upon Jesus Ethiopian naturally wants more. Christians will always receive all that the Lord gives. Look, preacher Philip, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip baptized him PDQ. Because holy baptism, as Scripture teaches, is the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3. In addition, whoever is baptized into Christ is baptized or bathed in the blood of Christ and is therefore cleansed from all sin. So, brothers and sisters, the preaching of Jesus for the sake of faith, people receiving holy baptism and being gathered into the church. This is the Spirit's work. The Spirit had more of this use of Philip. And so the text says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Yes, Philip kept on preaching the gospel in other places. More people to graft on to vine Jesus. Again, this is the Spirit's work. And now here you are at Trinity, thousands of years later. You are the branches of vine Jesus, the fruit of the gospel being preached, and you're being baptized in the triune name by many faithful pastors over the years. It all looked like only what? The work of men. It wasn't. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And so in your life, the Holy Spirit was at work calling you to faith in Jesus through the preaching of the gospel, enlightening you by holy baptism, holying you and sanctifying you with Christ's Good Friday forgiveness in the sacrament of the altar, and the Holy Spirit then keeping you in the true faith with Jesus Christ. So you have an Ethiopian and you, Christians, abiders in vine Jesus, branches of vine Jesus, true worshipers, all because of the Holy Spirit's working and giving in the word and sacraments. Just again, as the small catechism puts it, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord. I can't even come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, etc., etc. Indeed. That's the truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen.